Many of them will come into operation and incarnate to help rebuild the world, and to produce food and have attunement with the animals that have been traumatized by the Earth's shift. D. What will happen to our type of spirits? S. As the Earth's shift occurs, different changes happen to groups of souls. We would evolve up to a higher sense of consciousness. D. We wouldn't want to incarnate on the Earth at that time. S. We will also reincarnate on the Earth just to fulfill our sense of karma. But most people who will be coming to Earth will be spiritually evolved. All lesser evolved beings are being sent to another universe to begin their cosmic journey again. D. It sounds like there's going to be many changes after the Earth shift. S. These nature spirits are preparing for it. I really shouldn't talk any more about it. Conversations with a spirit. The subject of the coming axis shift of the Earth and the mechanics are discussed in more detail in my book, Conversations with Nostradamus, 3 volumes. D. Well, what about the animals? You said they do not have individual souls? S. No. The spirits of animals are different from humans. It is just so different from the soul of a human that I cannot explain it very well. They have group spirits, and these are worked out with the other elementals. Some animals, such as cows and horses, have the herd tendency, which is easily identifiable as a group spirit. But animal spirits do not have personality as humans do. They are life forces, however, and do inhabit bodies, animal bodies. D. Do they have incarnations the same as humans do? S. It is incarnation, yes. There is the filling of the physical body with a life force, yes, so it would be incarnation in that respect. D. Does an animal spirit ever incarnate as a human being? S. He frowned and seemed puzzled. Yes, it does eventually. It is part of its spiritual growth. Just like you will go on to higher levels, so does an animal spirit separate from the group spirit and become an individual soul and begin the process of growing spiritually. Many of the people on Earth have been animals in other lifetimes on other planets, eons of time ago. D. And this was part of the evolution. I am curious about where we began. What type of an energy were we when we first started? S. We must go through all the series of development: gas, matter, plant, animal, human, spirit, divine. D. Then an animal is part of a group spirit and it can become individualized and break off from the group? S. Yes, it happens because of love. Humans showing love to an animal gives it a personality. Love helps it to separate and makes it more individualistic. This raises their consciousness. This is why you should always be loving to all creatures. But I don't understand about those noxious creatures like bugs and wasps and mosquitoes. He made a disgusted face, and I laughed. They are part of the plan. Most of the bugs were put there for a reason, but I feel some just do not. Different levels of existence 97 need to be there because they are not really productive. But after the Earth change, they are not going to be there anymore. D. Would the animal spirits be on a certain level? S. Some are in the second, some are in the third, and some of them are somewhere in between. For instance, an ant would be on a different level than a much loved dog or horse. There are not always distinct levels saying this is on this one and that one is on that one. There are many facets to each char actor. There are also those who are in earthly human form who are on these lower levels. They are allowed to do this in hopes that they will raise themselves. Some people are on a third level even after they have incarnated. They are those humans who have no conscience. They just live an existence. They do not live a life. They live less than a life. D. How do you mean? Are they bad, or just have no interest? S. They do not have the intelligence to be either good or bad. There are very few of these. There are more fourth level incarnates than there are third levels. What you would call a sociopath would be a fourth level individual. Again, they have no conscience, but they have the intelligence to know how to use this against others. D. The ones on the third and fourth levels that are antisocial, would these be the murderers and criminals? S. Yes, for a great part. They are those who have either fallen down to that level, or have not reached up to the others yet. There is no conscience. And then there is the fifth level, which is your day-to-day existence. There are also some who reach over from the sixth level and come from there to the earthly plane. D. Is the sixth level above the earth? I was trying to physically fix these levels in recognizable places with definite boundaries, which I later found out was impossible. S. The sixth is the one known as the spirit's realm. D. Would those be spirits that didn't want to leave the earth? S. Sometimes they are those that are not locked into the earthly plane by either their own motives or their family could keep them there through grief or whatever. Conversations with a spirit. D. The earth is on the fifth. After that are the sixth, seventh and on higher. And these are where the schools are located? S. The schools and the masters and other things, yes. The eighth and ninth levels are reserved for the great masters. If you reach the tenth, you are one again with God. D. Well, do people ever go backwards? I was thinking about the theory that humans incarnate as animals. S. No. Unless you are extremely beastly. In other words, if you acted like an animal and you wanted to become an animal, you could, yes, but that is very rare. This is not usually allowed. It was at one time possible. However, it is no longer. It was done during the early days of the experimentation, but no longer. It is not that it is not possible, but that it is not allowed. If a person had dropped that low, they would probably stay upon this side until they had raised, rather than going any further down the scale. It is possible for a person to drop to an animalistic level mentally, but they would be unlikely to enter an animal's body. Once you have attained the human consciousness, it is very rare that you go back to an animal-like existence because you have evolved out of that. D. Then the humans that are incarnate would be in the third, fourth and fifth levels. S. Sometimes the sixth. I wondered how that would be possible if we are incarnate and the sixth level was the spirit's realm. S. You have heard of the expression that a person has one foot in one world and the other in the next. These are the individuals who are very open to everything around them. D. Are they able to switch levels at will? S. For the most part, once they become aware of it and begin dealing with the two worlds, yes. And there is the seventh level, which has many of the schools of knowledge and thought. It is from the sixth and seventh levels that much of the knowledge comes. Some humans operate on two levels without realizing this. An example is an inventor who has no idea where his knowledge comes from. The thought occurred to me that we have often heard people different levels of existence talk about the seventh heaven. It is supposed to be a place of perfect happiness. I wonder if the original concept came from this theory of different levels. D. What level is the resting place on? S. It has no level. It is. It exists because of the need for being without stimulation of any kind. Therefore, it has no level. You go there to be without. D. Is it in a special place away from the other planes? S. Not necessarily away. It is in amongst the planes, but it is complete unto itself. It is hard to explain. To use an analogy, it would be like when you are going straight up from the surface of your planet and the air gets thinner. As you go up, you come up to the level of the clouds and you see a cloud that is very thick and solid lulung. It is separate unto itself, but it is still part of the air. The resting place is like that. D. Every time you go between lives, do you go to a different level or back to the same one you left? S. Sometimes it depends on what you accomplished in that life. If you, instead of being uplifted, were perhaps downgraded in a life, then you would not go back to the same level that you had left. Sometimes you would go straight into another life. Other times you would go into the resting period. Sometimes you would just go back to a school, but not necessarily the same one you left. Maybe you have other lessons to learn, or you're reviewing what you need to learn the next time around. Maybe you're trying to decide if you want to come back, or if you want to stay there and work for a long period of time. D. Is there a school on each level? S. Yes, there are many schools on each level, schools of light, schools of thought. They each are using a portion of what is the natural law and order of things. They are trying to open the individual up to that portion of the truth so they can find the way. D. You don't go to the next level until you are ready for it? S. That is true. This sounded like moving from grade to grade at school. Maybe that's what it is like, with Earth being just one of the classrooms. IOO conversations with the spirit D, do you mean there are certain requirements before you can go to the next one? You may end up going backward or moving up to the next level according to what you have accomplished? S, yes. And once you get past a certain level, like about the ninth, it is very, very rare to ever incarnate again because you have passed a great need for lessons like that. Unless, like I said, you are downgraded by a certain existence where you are so overcome by the temptations you face day to day that instead of uplifting them, they downgrade you. D, it would seem that when you get to those upper levels you would be beyond those temptations. S, if it has been many years since you lived an earthly existence, it is like someone who has been denied something. If a child has not had candy for a long time and is offered candy, they will most likely gorge themselves on it. It is this type of thing that sometimes happens. It is not as common as in the lower levels, but it does happen. Even the greatest of avatars, demigods, can possibly be tempted, yes. The avatar is a demigod who comes down to earth in bodily form. There are many examples in the scriptures of the Hindus. The ninth level apparently would have been where the master teacher, Jesus, came from. This would also explain the story in the Bible of his temptation by the devil. This was his battling with his own inner self. D. There must be something about earth that does that to people. S. On earth the thing which you call evil, the darker side of things, is more active than it is here. And the pull is greater, yes. D. It makes it very hard to resist that. S. But then again, in the resisting, it makes you stronger when you do. Here where existence is very easy and you don't have to resist, you are perhaps not growing as fast. D. So it appears that you go back into a life with all the best plans and intentions and you can't always stick to them, I guess. S. The best laid plans of mice and men oft gang ugly. Robbed bums, you never know what will happen until you get different levels of existence IO there. It's sometimes useful to travel backwards to help those below. Often those in the higher dimensions return to the physical world to raise people's awareness. They are called bodhisattvas in Buddhism and are described as people who have achieved enlightenment and yet chose to return to the physical plane out of compassion for their fellow creatures. In this form of Buddhism, Jesus was a bodhisattva or enlightened one. S. There is a dispensation given to those who would do this. It is allowed, so to say, and it is done. D. Will a soul eventually go to all these different dimensions or planes? S. That is what we are all working for. That is the ultimate goal. The ultimate plan is the oneness, a reunion with God. Others have given these same descriptions in different words. I do not think they are contradictory. Everything they tell me depends on the growth of the spirit that is doing the reporting and the accuracy of their perceptions and their ability to report what they perceive, given the limitations of our language. Every single entity has said that our language is totally inadequate to describe what they see. Often they try to compensate by using analogies, but even these are woefully ineffective to portray the whole picture. What lies beyond the veil is so overwhelming, it is difficult at best to communicate the information back to our mortal senses. We can only try our best to understand these entities within our human limitations. It is either that, or not seek the knowledge at all. This is the report of another entity about the various planes of existence. S. The different planes occupy the same space. For example, you right now are existing on the physical plane, yet your spiritual aspects of yourself have reflections on the spiritual planes. This is because the spiritual planes are here too, but the vibrations involved are of a different frequency. With the spiritual eyes, many times it can come across as appearing IO2 conversations with a spirit D, S, D, S, D, almost like a physical place. It is here at the same location of the earth, it is just a different frequency. It is like your radio. It is the same radio, and the vibrations that come through it occupy the same space at the same time, but it is on different frequencies. And you adjust the frequency receiver to receive a particular set of vibrations at any one time. So it is with these different planes. They exist at the same time but they are on different frequencies, so they do not collide, so to speak. I am not sure I have made myself clear. I think I understand. That is what I've heard, that you can be on one level and not be aware of the other planes.
Yes.
Or if you become aware, like through meditation or what have you on this plane, you are only dimly aware because you are of a different frequency. You are able to alter part of your frequency enough to complementary interact with another frequency to know that it exists. But there will be a barrier there. Hence the description of seeing through a glass darkly, or a veil. There are different planes, but there are also intermediate planes where you can interact with others from other planes if need be. For example, some of the ones that you've been interacting with on the physical plane in this process of working out your karma may be on a different plane. They may not have been born yet into the physical plane, and you would need to consult with them to see what they were deciding for their next incarnation. You may need to discuss how it would work out best for both of your karmas, as to where and when to incarnate. That's one of the purposes behind karma and reincarnation. You can go to these intermediary planes for these purposes while in a sleep state. When you are between incarnations, you can also have access to higher planes. Can you go to these other planes even though you are not that advanced? Or are there something like barriers that would only let you go to certain levels? You go as far as your understanding and comprehension allows you. Your mind is the only barrier. It is according to how far you've been able to open your mind and understand. And there are always people to help you if you desire or need it for opening your mind further. I've been trying to understand these levels. I keep trying to different levels of existence 103 SDSDSDS, picture them as having distinct physical boundaries, which I am beginning to realize is probably impossible. It's not like distinct physical boundaries. To use an analogy, on your plane standing on the ground would be like being at one level. As you go straight up away from the surface of your planet, you go through the atmosphere which the scientists have labeled into different layers, stratosphere or what have you, according to how thin the air is. But this doesn't happen at different levels. It is just gradual transitions from one level to the other. As you go straight up from the ground, you don't see the different levels of atmosphere. You just notice that things are gradually changing and becoming different as you go further up. The spiritual planes are like this. Do you know how many planes there are?
No.
There are countless planes, I think. Some planes are for special purposes, and other planes are just general. What is the highest level that someone can go to if they are progressing, as you said, higher and higher? Well, I really don't know if I can tell you anything about it because I am not sure there's a limit to how high you can progress. I am not aware of any limits and my perception only extends upward so far. But those who are more advanced than I can perceive further because they are more advanced. At my present level, all I know is that one can continue to progress. And the more one progresses, the more positive your karma becomes. You don't want to stay on the same level and keep going around in a rut, excuse. After you leave the level of incarnation, do you go back to the same spiritual level that you left?
No.
Many times it depends on things that have happened to you while you are incarnated and the way you handled them. For example, if when you incarnated, you started making a regular practice of meditating and such, that will help you progress even while you are on the physical plane. Then, when you return, you are able to go back to a higher level. If one temporarily becomes stuck, so to speak, at a particular level, it is usually because there is something that you need to learn, but you are having difficulty absorbing. I owe 4 conversations with a spirit. I tried to get more information from this entity about the levels on Earth that were below the physical, human. I said I had heard that the lowest level was the energies of things such as the rocks and plants and trees. I think you are referring to elementals. All of the universe, including all of the planes of this universe and some of the other universes, for that matter. But I'm speaking only of this universe right now. All of it is energy of various intensity and different levels. You perceive the physical plane as being solid and physical simply because the energy of your body is compatible with it in that way. But it's all energy too, as your atomic scientists are aware. The energies embodied in the various levels of creation, such as the rocks, trees and such, are not necessarily lower or higher levels of energy, or not necessarily lower or higher planes. They're just different vibrations of energy or spirits, if you wish to call them that. They are living forces with power and life behind them. They just operate according to different rules. I mentioned to you how, on the plane that I am on right now, the energy rules apply differently and operate differently. That's the way it is with these other energy levels as well. That's why things that happen which seem inexplicable on your Earth happen, because they're often influenced or caused by entities on these other energy levels. They can interact with your energy level. Do you understand? D. I'm trying to think how they could influence us or cause things to happen that are inexplicable. S. Well, you have folklore about the little people and such as that to try to help you understand these different energy levels. The concept of the little people truly does exist. It's a set of entities on a different energy level. It's a different type of incarnation that one can go into. For example, one way these other energy levels can influence you is by interacting with whatever psychic abilities you may have. And another way, by helping you to be sensitive to changes of the weather or what have you, or different things like that. Or perhaps if a strange series of what could be called coincidences had happened, it would be due to influences from these other energy levels. This is going to get confusing. I fear not different levels of existence. 105. Confusing to me but confusing to you. For example, if one desired something very strongly, the strength of that desire and the thoughts about it put out a certain form of energy. The entities on these other energy levels will be aware of this. And they may influence things in a subtle way to help this to come about. D. Do these other entities ever influence anything in a negative way? Or would they be allowed to do that? S. Yes, there are some that do. It's like yin and yang, keeping things in balance. Usually the ones that influence things in a so-called negative way are either being mischievous, or the person who put out the energy concerning different desires was not clear in what they wanted. So they perceive what happens as being negative. D. I guess I was thinking about our idem of bad spirits or demons. S. No, these are not like that. This line of questioning will be followed up in chapter IO, which deals with Satan, possession, and demons. D. What about the area the Catholic Church refers to as purgatory, and is there any such place in the levels? S. No. The nearest thing I can see that would possibly equate with purgatory would be the place of resting for the damaged souls. But it is not a place of punishment, not like the Catholics imply with their term of purgatory. There's really no such specific place as purgatory or hell. Any experience like that is created by your own mind as a result of things that have happened in past incarnations. D. I was going to ask about hell. Some people have described places that seemed bad to them when they've had near-death experiences. Do you know anything about that? S. They were expecting this. It's the result of someone believing they have lived a life sufficient to make them go to hell. Due to the type of life they have lived, they have attracted negative energies and influences unto themselves. When they cross over to the spiritual side of things, the negative influences are still clustered about them. But now they are conscious of these influences and they can perceive them because they are on a spiritual plane themselves. These things surround them totally and it affects their minds, and conversations with a spirit makes them think that they are at a place that is very unpleasant, when in reality it's a state of mind due to the negative energies that have been attracted to them in their past incarnations. D. But it's not a place where they would have to stay. S. No. The condition of hell is all a matter of what state your mind is in during the period of transition. The idea of heaven and hell has become somewhat of a fable or a legend from your perspective. Those who choose to believe this create their own reality to such an extent that when they do pass over, they find that elemental reality which they themselves helped to create, and therefore it is indeed real. The descriptions of heaven and hell in your holy writings are a result of people who have had near-death experiences. They come back and describe what they saw. And what they saw was how they perceived the spiritual energies around them during the period of transition. But they did not cross over far enough to be able to realize what was actually going on. If they reported something that was good and very pleasant, that was reported as being heaven. Those who reported something that was very horrible and terrible, that was reported as being hell. D. They always talk about fire and things like that. S. The negative energies can torture the mind in a way that would make you feel like you are burning. This is not a physical burning because the mortal body has been left behind. D. Then how can I help people to understand these things when I write about this? They've been taught for so long by the church that this is the way it is. S. That's a good question. Write these things that you find out from this unit and others and correlate the information. Encourage people to read books on near-death experiences so that they can overcome this mental attitude they have that death is something to be feared. Death is no more to be feared than breathing. D. I've heard that if some people die and they're afraid they're going to hell, then that is what they will see. They figure they've lived a bad life and this is the only thing they can expect, so this sets them up for a bad experience. Different levels of existence. IO7S. Yes, it does, because that's one of the attitudes that helps attract negative energies. If they're expecting a pleasant experience, then that's what they will have and it will make the period of transition easier. They'll be less likely to need to go to the resting place to work on their attitudes and such to dissipate negative energies. If they can develop positive attitudes in life, this in itself will help dissipate the negative energies. People who cross over in this negative condition are often sent to the resting place because they need to work through these problems and to work on their attitude or whatever it was in their particular case that attracted these negative vibrations. They need to figure out what they did to attract these and what they can do to help themselves grow and improve so that these negative influences are no longer attracted. When they work on the different aspects of themselves, and as they correct or heal a certain attitude or what have you, the energy of attraction is no longer there. The negative influences dissipate or drop away since there is no longer the energy there to hold them. It's like a combination of magnetism, electricity and gravity or something like that. D. What would happen if somebody reincarnated before these influences had dropped away? S. Usually they try to give them time in the resting place to start making positive progress towards having these negative influences dissipate. If one were to incarnate before they are worked away, I'm not sure what happens. I think it's just added to their karma. I could be mistaken. I think when you are born, when you are young and innocent, you're protected from these for a period of time until you reach what is called the condition of accountability when you start to realize right and wrong. At that point when the mind reaches enough maturity to know right from wrong, since the state of mind was already there, it would generally choose the state of mind that will keep those forces attracted to them. And usually they will end up attracting more forces or negative energies. It's just a matter of going to the resting place when they die and working on these attitudes so they may dissipate. D. I was wondering if they came back with these forces still with them, if that would mean they were starting off on the conversations with a spirit. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. Wrong foot, so to speak. They're given a grace period, so to speak, when they're still innocent. But when they reach the age of accountability, when they start making their decisions on whether or not to do something, on whether or not it was right or wrong, or whether or not they wanted to do it, regardless of whether or not it was right or wrong. At that point these attitudes will expose themselves again and the energies will return. When does the age of accountability start? It's different ages for different people according to how they have developed. For some people it may be as young as 5 years old. For others it may be as old as 12 or thereabouts. It depends on the individual. It depends upon their perception of right and wrong. Yes. Some individuals never lose their innocence. Those who are mentally retarded or what have you, keep their innocence their entire lives. When they die, it's lucky, in a way, because they don't have to try to dissipate the negative energies because they did not have the perception to have these attitudes to attract these energies. Plus the difficulty of living that type of life will help them to work off much karma, too. It would change much bad karma into good karma. I wonder why somebody would want to come into a life being retarded or severely handicapped. It's a way of not having to continually go through the cycle of the resting place. Some people are able to go ahead and work their problems out in the resting place before they are reincarnated. But others are not always so successful.